this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
First time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of
Vance Pollock?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And in the driver's seat for Joshua P. Warren tonight, I am Vance Pollock. The world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight into the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go into the field to investigate. Joined in the studio this week, the first episode of 2017 by investigator Shelley Wright. How are you, dear Shelley?
I am great. It's wonderful to be back in the studio after so long.
Got that right. And producer Sam the Animal Steele. How are you, Sam?
What's up, Mr. Pollock? Yes, it's been quite a long hiatus on the show here.
Yes.
I haven't seen either of you in the new year. Happy 2017.
Right. The year of the rooster. It's a fire rooster year. I think we've actually got the rest of this month pretty much as a fire monkey year, but 2017, year of the rooster.
I'm a year of the dragon.
Uh-huh.
What are you?
I'm year of the boar. And we've got 3 hours for me to prove it. Tonight, we're going to take you, dear listeners, on a roller coaster ride. We're going to play catch up a little bit. We're going to visit the year 2016 in deaths. I know it was a depressing year for some people, and a lot of folks are glad to shake it. They're hoping for... better news in 2017, but we'll look back and pay our respects to some of those we've lost in 2016.
It was quite a lot, wasn't there?
Absolutely. Hour two, I think we're going to do a little something since we've got Shelley here, and Shelley and I have spent a lot of time in the field with Joshua P. Warren, who is on his way back to Puerto Rico right now. As a matter of fact, I tried to get him to hang around and do the inaugural 2017 episode. No, he's already headed for warmer climes. So right now, while you people are eating your milk sandwiches there at home, Joshua Warren is kicking back on the beach.
Is that like a milk steak?
I'm just assuming because when everybody goes to the grocery store and buys milk and bread, that they're just making milk sandwiches for cold weather. That's a cold weather thing, right?
Yeah. Milk and you got to have your milk and your bread.
Right.
And your beer.
I always thought it was just French toast. Mm. Lots of French toast.
Yeah, good stuff. Hour two, in any case, let's adopt some ghosts, or let's talk about, rather, how several people have mentioned to me that they think that ghosts like attention, and they're kind of like stray dogs. If you feed them, they'll follow you home.
You know, that's a very good observation, and I believe that.
Yeah, and you and I can talk about some examples.
Oh,
we've adopted some ghosts around Asheville in recent years, and they keep popping in and saying hello. That's a fascinating thing.
Well, you know, we have one famous one, and you and I actually met at the cemetery a couple of years ago.
We'll tell that story in hour two. That's the kind of good stuff people want to stay tuned for. Absolutely an incredible year, 2016, in some sense, a year for growth. There's excitement in the right family of businesses, because not right. only are you associated with Wright's Coin Shop, a proud underwriter of this program, but now there's Nevermore Mystical Arts.
Yes, and you've both come in to see
mm-hmm.
me.
Shelley, proprietress.
Proprietress.
That's a tricky word to say. I think I nailed it.
I don't know. Is that a word until you just made it up?
It's a word. It's a word.
It was used in that newspaper article
yes.
in the Biltmore Beacon.
Oh,
cute,
yes.
Cute picture of Shelley there in the Biltmore Beacon. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about it. And where folks can find you. You're right down there next to your folks' coin shop on Sweeten Creek, right?
Same building. It used to be a little Central American tienda, and they had since moved on. We missed them. They were so nice. But it opened up this wonderful opportunity. And as soon as I came back from Oddfellows Asylum, I was in, what was it, last May, I was offered this incredible opportunity. And then things just kind of exploded from there, and mom and dad had no idea what to expect. No one had any idea what to expect.
Yourself included.
I know. I fought for everything I wanted, though. Trust me when I say there were things that, don't you want this? No. But it all worked
folks,
out.
People don't even know what this is. They know Shelley's running a shop down there next to her parents' coin shop called Nevermore Mystical Arts. But here's the way I would put it. It is a, the inventory for all things.
It is
kind of strange, but not necessarily skeptical. There's a lot of stuff in there for the true believers, right?
Exactly.
And practitioners.
Practitioners, scientific equipment, all kinds of stuff.
When I came in, what did I pick up? An amulet?
You did. You picked up an amulet.
And some herbs.
Yeah. Yeah. I call it a paranormal boutique.
That's good. I picked up a candle and an amulet myself with a labyrinth design on it. Yeah, all kinds of neat stuff down there, folks. I encourage you to get by and check Shelley out at Nevermore Mystical Arts. What are the hours down there? Can you rattle them off?
I can. Monday through Friday, 10:30 to 5:30. Saturday, 12 until 4.
Okay. That's off exit 51.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Exit 51 off Interstate 40, and what's the street number down there on Sweeten Creek?
1271.
Right across from Retro Lube.
Just north of Rock Hill Road.
Uh-huh. Or south. Is it south of Rock Hill?
North-south?
You know where the Retro
Lube
north.
Is.
Just
north.
Rock Hill Road.
Barney Five Star is parked on
the
left when you're driving from I-40
yes.
and Wright's Coin Shop and Nevermore Mystical Arts on the right. You'll find it. You got a phone number down there, Shelley?
What's my phone number?
you had your chance.
05-31-82, I'm pretty sure. Let me just check.
We'll confirm that. Anyway, a great new year in store for us. I can feel it. Joshua, I don't want to spoil things. Josh has given me free rein to come in here and talk about all things paranormal, and I had the pleasure of hanging out with Josh. He was back in town for a couple of months, and I had the pleasure of hanging out with him on several occasions, talking at length about things that he is going to unveil for you in coming weeks. And I don't know how much I'm allowed to say about certain projects, and you know how Josh likes his cliffhangers, but so I will tease a little bit in the spirit of JPW and say that he has announced that 2017 is the year that we will have definitive scientific proof of ghosts. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty bold claim. And he kind of outlined it for me, and I believe it. Here's one of the things I always enjoy about hanging out with Josh. If you haven't had any Joshua P. Warren time in a while, and you get kind of jaded, and you're like, oh, is all this stuff just hocus pocus? Is it just something we do to entertain ourselves? And then you hang out with Josh, and you see the gleam in his eye, and you realize this guy is restoring your faith, your sense of childlike wonder and mystery. And it's fun to hang out
and
with Josh.
And then you wonder where that hand is coming up on your thigh, and you're like, hey, stop it, buddy. What are you doing?
Yeah, that too. But we'll save that for the Dark 30 hour, because hour three, of course, that's the one that decent people will want to tune out and put the kiddies to bed, because you may potentially hear some outrageous material. And hey, we've got two Floridians here in the station. All the testosterone in the room
is
Floridian.
Listen, I have lived in Asheville now for 27 years. Okay, so I lived in Florida for less 13 years, something like that.
Yeah, it's with you for life, though.
No,
Sam, it's like a tattoo or a scar.
I totally identify myself as a North Carolinian now.
Oh, you've been through therapy and everything.
27 years. I was here when there was nothing downtown, you know, like when Asheville was not what it is now, when Lexington was kind of shady, and there was like, what do you want, was the only store in Haywood Road. You had the record store, and that was like the only reason to go over there, that or getting like an old refrigerator repaired.
Okay, let me soften the description a little bit and say that you are familiar with Florida in the sense that you can relate to a lot of...
In the biblical sense, yeah.
Yeah, you can relate to a lot of the strangeness and inappropriate behavior.
I still go down from time to time.
To Florida.
Not proud of it, but yes, to Florida. Yeah. But
oh, wow. Yeah, anyway, Dark 30 hour, I'm sure we'll be ringing the bell. Shelley's got it over there on standby, and I'm sure we'll get to use it a little bit. Speaking of strange, staff has provided us with a pile of papers over here, a ream of papers, if you will, relating to the Dark 30 material, and you folks know what it is. It's often of a seedy nature. Shelley, what was the adjective that you said you approved of earlier? You ran across it in one of the articles.
Lascivious.
Lascivious.
Isn't that a great word?
Yeah, some lascivious.
Scrumtrulescent.
Scrumtrulescence. Oh, yeah, lascivious tales. But that's in the third hour. So now let's just... think about 1999, or rather 2016. We lost some great folks, and let's pay tribute and talk about some of our favorites when we get back from the first break. Guys, how about it?
I'm down. Do we have enough time in the segment to go through that many people?
No, I think we'll just hit the high spots, but we'll all chime in.
All right.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Strange.
And ladies by the score, all dressed in satin and waiting by the door. Ooh, what a lucky man he was. Ooh, what a lucky man he was. And feathers, they made up.
bed, a gold-covered mattress on which he was led.
Ooh, what a lucky man he was. Ooh, what a lucky man he was.
Yes, what a lucky man to be hosting Speaking of Strange here in the pilot seat for Joshua P. Warren. I'm Vance Pollock, joined in the studio by investigator Shelley Wright and producer Sam the Animal Steele. That was Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, and for me it rather bookended the year in death, 2016, because early in the year, Keith Emerson, the man on the Moog there, shot himself. And then more recently, Greg Lake, the guitarist and vocalist, both lucky men, by the way, passed away. And that leaves Carl Palmer, the drummer from Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. Anyway, interesting thing about Keith Emerson, he was very fond of Asheville, and he was very tight with Bob Moog. And he helped popularize the Moog synthesizer before Keith Emerson pretty much took the world by storm. That solo at the end of Lucky Man, by the way, one of the essential Moog solos to help cement that instrument in pop music. Before that, people thought it was just a novelty thing. It was mostly heard in, like, commercials or, you know, alien novelty type things.
I was lucky enough to get to go to probably a year or two before he passed away to a small lecture he gave at UNCA
as part of the Moog Fest when he was in town.
This was I'm talking about Bob Moog. This was he was giving, like, in a small classroom, and he had, like, a whole synthesizer set up, you know, and my dad took me. And so there's maybe 50 people in the room. That was pretty cool.
Right. Well, Keith Emerson was in town a couple of years ago for Moog Fest, and he performed the Tarkus Suite, which is one of their epic tunes. You know, these prog rock bands that have 23-minute songs. They're like orchestral. Yeah, he played the entire Tarkus Suite at Diana Wortham Theater, I think. And he also did some workshops and lectures and things like that. But anyway, Keith Emerson, one of the sad points about his death is they say, you know, he was about 70 years old or whatever in arthritis, and he just couldn't. He couldn't kill it on the keys like he used to, and he was still producing and writing and everything like that. And internet critics were just being cruel, and they said he was one of these guys that actually read that stuff and took it to heart, you know, and it was depressed because of the way people treated him as an aging star, you know.
That kind of sucks. I think if you're of that level, like in when he came up, there was no internet, obviously. And if you had a bad review in Cream or Rolling Stone or something, you know, that'd be one thing. But now anybody can be a critic, and you just really got to not.
He's listening to some lame 30-year-old guy living in his mom's basement, you know.
You can't really put too much credence. I mean, because everybody's got an opportunity to voice something. Not everybody's going to like your stuff, you know.
But anyway, that would be my deepest sense of musical loss, 2016.
Really?
Keith Emerson
More
and Greg
so than
Lake.
Prince.
Yeah, because Keith Emerson, Greg Lake, for me, those guys are as classic. They're up there with Yes, which is up there with Pink Floyd, which is very close to, you know, any of that progressive rock stuff. I don't think you can remove Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. You have to be one of these people who got it at the time.
Which surprises me because of your love of, you know, garage rock.
Oh, I like trash rock. Absolutely.
Yeah, which is short, sweet, to the point. Yeah. Which is the opposite of Rick Wakeman doing a 20-minute, you know, synthesizer.
I'm a multifaceted lover of rock and roll music, as we'll hear. Josh has given me free rein to play with the bumpers and intros and everything tonight. So if you miss, miss some of Josh's favorites, his old standbys, let us hear about it, and make sure next time a recording, or the next time a episode of Speaking of Strange happens, that we'll get some of your old favorites back in there. But tonight I took it upon myself to tweak most of the music curated by yours truly, Vance Pollock. And Shelley, who do you choose as the person who passed away in 2016 that most struck you with a sense of loss? I mean, there were a bunch of them.
That was tough. I mean, there were a bunch of them.
David Bowie. That was huge for a lot of people. Bowie was huge for a lot of people, and that really hurt. I can't say that I was a tremendous David Bowie fan, but not bad. Not bad, and he certainly contributed to some of the more strange elements in music. He was the man who fell to earth, you know, star man, all that sort of stuff. He was kind of fascinated with the UFO sort of contactee concept, and some people say that he believed that he was abducted or descended. From aliens. So, David Bowie.
I'm looking at a list here, so I can't say that I'm pulling this off the top of my head because there's so many. But, man, Gene Wilder.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Gene Wilder was a big one. And also, who was the other? Prince for me. And Gary Shandling.
Yeah. Wow.
Those were two biggies.
This is Gary Shandling Show, the theme to Gary Shandling Show.
This is the theme to Gary Show, the opening theme to Gary Show.
Gary Shandling, very, very great sort of dry humor. I love that. There was a sketch from the Gary Shandling Show that stuck with me for some reason. They were walking down the sidewalk, and one of the neighborhood kids was standing by a lamppost smoking a cigarette, and the lady that was with Gary said, "Hey, isn't that Norman smoking a cigarette?" And Gary Shandling stops and looks at him, and he says, "Yeah, but he does look pretty cool."
Dan Haggerty passed away in 2016. Remember, he was Gentle Ben?
Oh, wow.
Wasn't it Gentle Ben? Wasn't it the Bear Show?
Yeah.
Or Grizzly Adams.
Grizzly Adams.
Thank
Grizzly
you.
Adams. Gentle Ben was like the pet baby bear, but
yeah.
Grizzly Adams was a man who was living out in the wild.
Clint Howard, I believe, was in Gentle Ben, wasn't he?
Clint Howard was in, yeah, he was, I get all those child stars of TV syndication of the 1970s on WTOG Channel 44.
Oh, you see, Dr. Paul Bearer.
Right. Born in Asheville.
Was he really?
Yes, he
get
was.
Out.
Dick Benick was born in Asheville, North Carolina in 1928.
I never knew. I loved Dr. Paul Bearer. Wow. You learn something new every day.
Right. We're going to hit a break here, folks, and come back and talk a little more about 2016, the year that was. Speaking of strange, with Vance Pollock in for Joshua P. Warren.
There's a story you should know from 100 years ago, and 100 years we've waited now to tell. Now the Yankees come along, and they'll listen to this song, and they'll quake in fear to hear this rebel yell.
And they'll quake in fear to hear this rebel yell. Yeah! Oh, the South's gonna rise again. Yeah! Oh, the South's gonna rise again.
Robert E. Lee broke his musket on his knee, and 1,000 pieces shattered on the ground. But he looked up then, and he gathered up his men, and from his lips there came an awful sound.
And from his lips there came an awful sound. Yeah! Oh, the South's gonna rise again. Yeah! Oh, the South's gonna rise again.
Well, who's to say, really, if the South will rise again? But according to Herschel Gordon Lewis's screenplay for 2000 Maniacs, they would rise on centennial occasions associated with the Civil War. At least the ghosts of the dead would rise and wreak vengeance. 2000 Maniacs from 1962, a color drive-in movie gore classic by Herschel Gordon Lewis. H.G. Lewis, the godfather of gore, passed away in 2016. He was one of the most prolific Florida horror movie filmmakers, responsible for films like Blood Feast and all kinds of great ones. The Wizard of Gore was one of his films. The Girl, the Body, the Pill, featuring Henny Youngman, I believe.
Really?
Yeah. He had one. I'm trying to Blast Off Girls, featuring Colonel Sanders.
What?
In a cameo. Yes. So Herschel Gordon Lewis, and here's what one claim he always made: all of his films made money because the budgets.
If your budget's $200, you
yeah,
know.
They say that he actually paid most of his crew with Kentucky Fried Chicken because he would watch for if you end up watching any of this schlock,
where
any
would
of these
you find
B movies.
It?
Oh, it's online. Most of this stuff you can stream. The examples on Herschel Gordon Lewis movies on Netflix right now. Those are his adult films, some softcore films that he worked in. And so not recommended by me because the acting and the sense of adventure is not there. But his gore films, incredible. Probably the first time that we saw gore like that in color.
I was looking up on eBay the other day some posters. I was looking up a poster for, do you remember Bloodsucking Freaks?
Yes, very wrong movie. Yes,
very wrong. Very wrong.
Very wrong.
But you try finding a poster for it, it's kind of pricey.
Yeah, I remember the punchline scene about a certain hot dog made from body parts at the end of that film. Bloodsucking Freaks. Ugh. I wish you hadn't mentioned that. But yes, Herschel Gordon Lewis did make films in that vein. He also helped popularize a genre or subgenre known as Hicksploitation or Redneck-sploitation.
Huh.
2000 Maniacs had a twist of gore and rednecks or Hicksploitation. And our friend Joshua P. Warren also has his own entry into that genre.
I've got it in my Google Drive.
Inbred Rednecks. Have you seen Inbred Rednecks?
Yes, I loved it. I loved it. And at one point I'm watching it. I'm like, what? I know that guy. Is this the name of that guy? And yeah, I had worked with that guy at another radio station.
I remember having to go, there was the video store on Patton by the KFC. I think it's like a wicker warehouse now or something. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
By the Octopus Garden. I go in there and I would have to keep going in. It was like one copy there. And it would always be rented out. And I finally rented it, you know. And I didn't even know Josh then.
No, I knew about Inbred Rednecks and Haunted Asheville from about the time it came out. And it was years before I made the connection that the man responsible for this very footnoted and academic book was also this, you know, this young guy right out of high school who had made Inbred Rednecks.
Another weird...
about rooster fighting. This is the year of the rooster, so maybe Inbred Rednecks is bound to make a big comeback this year.
I got out of high school, took a year off or two or something, went to AB Tech, and I was taking a creative writing class, and we had a special guest come in, and it was Joshua P. Warren, who had just started Shadowbox Enterprises.
Right.
And we're the same age, so I was like, man, this guy's like the same age. I'm doing nothing over here. And he had just written, you know, Haunted Asheville.
Right.
Of which I have a first edition autographed copy, and he doesn't.
Yeah, yeah. I was asking him about some of his earlier books that are long out of print and never saw a second edition, Plausible Ghosts.
I got that the other day at a Goodwill.
Speaking of Strange, the book.
I got Speaking of Strange,
the book.
You
got a copy of it?
Yes, I got it at the Goodwill, texted him a picture, and was like, check it out. He's like, I hope you bought that. I was like, I bought it.
It's rare. He says there are probably 500 copies of that one. Speaking of Strange, before the radio show, there was the book.
I can bring it in next time, and we can all...
You found it at Goodwill. Good for you. I bought one at Downtown Books and News and paid $30 for it.
But, I paid 75 cents.
You got the better deal. But anyway, yes, Speaking of Strange, the book, you're going to want to go to joshuapwarren.com. Shelley, is there a period after the P?
No.
joshuapwarren.com.
That should be the T-shirt. That should be a good T-shirt. There's no period after the P.
No. No, joshuapwarren.com. And you'll sign up for the free and spam-free email newsletter to stay apprised of all the goings-on in the Joshua P. Warren universe, of which we back here in Asheville are only a tiny emote in the universe of Joshua
P. Warren. Special edition wands. You never know.
You never know.
You never know.
TMOs, Tibetan meditation orbs, one of my favorites. I don't know if he still has copies of Keep This Booklet by Your Toilet, one of my favorite Joshua P. Warren titles. Never seen
that
one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a special name for it that we can't talk about on the air.
Oh, okay. Let me know during the break.
Oh, goodness. Shelley, we were reading down the necrology of 2015, and a couple names popped there. That 2016, right. Yeah, the year in review. It is. I get my years mixed up.
We're
that's
old.
What happens when you get old. Glenn Frey of the Eagles. That one hit you.
That hurt. That did. I love the Eagles. Yeah.
Well, we're still friends.
Well, I should hope so.
I know people who try to hate on the Eagles, but
of all my Eagles, he was one of my. He was probably my favoritest Eagle.
Yeah, he's mine.
And.
You know, that was some toe-tapping stuff on the radio back in the day, though. Now you have to be all cool and say,
I was always
you don't
that
like
cool.
What about ELO? You know, I don't think they get enough respect.
No, Your outro song coming up, I can respect.
Have we got that coming up?
No.
How much? No, not yet. We got time. Herschel Gordon Lewis, back to Herschel. God rest his soul. I was such a fan that I traveled to St. Cloud, Florida, which is in the... Yeah, it's on the outskirts of Lake Buena Vista, pretty much. It's in the territory of the rat.
It's in the territory of hot.
That, too, which I think explains a lot of the craziness that happens in the Dark 30 coming out of Florida. But, yeah, I traveled to St. Cloud and visited some of the locations that he used from 2000 Maniacs. When I was in South Florida, I went down to Miami and met a lady who had done locations for him around Miami.
You're like a fan.
A fan. I corresponded with him, emailed with Herschel for off and on for 15 or 20 years. So it was a personal loss. Herschel Gordon Lewis was a big fan. Here's another thing in the vein of Hicksploitation. He did a film called Moonshine Mountain that was shot in North Carolina, and he set up the production company down in Charlotte, and he got a Charlotte band, the Catalinas, to record a couple songs for the soundtrack to Moonshine Mountain. That's some pretty cool stuff out there. Collector's items, 45s, this Catalinas, Herschel Gordon Lewis, Moonshine Mountain, and what's the title of one of the songs? Oh, I Love That Old White Lightning is one of the songs.
I take it was a movie about moonshine running.
It was a movie about moonshine running and inbred rednecks. There you go. Josh took his cue.
I did not know anything about it. I'm going to have to go check, do a little delving into this topic.
You will enjoy Herschel Gordon Lewis. Might I suggest you start with 2000 Maniacs. And we had Gene Wilder. Did we mention Gene? Of course, he's another movie legend.
Man, I mean... And, you know, in the final, you know, the last how many years of his life, he was a self-imposed recluse.
Right.
You know, like he wasn't out at functions. You didn't see him when, after Gilda Radner died, he just kind of shied off and you never knew what he was up to. But, you know, while he was around, he was such a, you know, you watch some of his old movies. That he
such a funny guy. Young Frankenstein.
Young Frankenstein, one of my all-time favorites.
Classic. Of course, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Willy Wonka, the original. And I think he nailed that. I mean, he played that character to such a T that's why the remake really got flounced. People hated on that remake because the original was so
He had the
great.
Ability to, like, you know, like when he was mad at Augustus Gloop or whatever, like he could be like really mean. And then, like, you know, he's singing, and he could see the gentle spirit in him. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could feel his good vibes.
Right. Vindictive and yet
lovable. And then you had the Richard Pryor era, like, where they were making the movies, Stir Crazy. They did, like, three or four, didn't they?
Was Gene Wilder in Bustin' Loose? What was the one where he was blind?
There was one where he was blind, Richard Pryor was deaf, like, or See No Evil, Hear No Evil. But they had, like, that whole run, too. And you know, a lot of people forget about those as well. Just
we got to mention Carrie. We got to mention the Princess Leia. In recent news, I've seen that people are petitioning Disney to make Princess Leia one of the official Disney princesses. How do you feel about that? Well, I think she belongs.
I mean,
she's not what you think of as a Disney character, but heck, Disney's got it now, and they're going to be making these movies for eternity. So I think Princess Leia as a Disney princess works for me.
Works for me.
And then her mom, the day after, passing away as well.
We're going to take a break about that.
Reflect on all the
good memories these folks left us with. Thanks for listening to Speaking of Strange.
We're gonna take it anyhow.
The final minutes of hour one here on Speaking of Strange. I'm Vance Pollock in the captain's chair for Joshua P. Warren. The Ramones, we left out on a Ramones number, came back in on a Ramones number because me and Sammy over here, we like the Ramones, to put that lightly. You heard us going off the entire commercial break about how we love the Ramones.
Yeah.
I mean, what kid growing up late 70s, early 80s didn't love the Ramones?
I'm 40 years old, and if I have a bad day, I go home, I put on my headphones, get my bass, and play along with Rock and Roll High School and Roger Corman movie soundtrack, and just feel
the first
great.
The first Ramones I remember, KTEL Rock 80, rock and roll radio, let's go!
Oh.
Man, it changed my life for the better. And Pet Sematary, they, of course, on the soundtrack to the film of the Stephen King story. But the official video of Pet Sematary, Joey Ramone is wearing a Pterodactyl Club t-shirt.
Yeah.
And the Pterodactyl Club was the underground club in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Really?
They love the Carolinas, man. And some of their most hardcore, diehard fans were here in North Carolina. Some of the guys who followed them around made the Ramones their Grateful Dead. Well, you always hear about the Deadheads, who there must have been droves of them that just went around.
You still got the Milestone in Charlotte, which is like a very famous punk club, basically like a gutted out house in a really bad neighborhood. And it's got, you know, autographs on the wall, like, you know, sticker, original Bad Brain stickers and
right.
Black Flag stickers. And still on the wall, there's like a Johnny Ramone and a Dee Dee Ramone spray painted autograph, like up on the wall.
Very nice. CeeMee Mosley, who designed the Mosrite custom guitars.
Oh, yes.
The Ventures played Mosrite guitars
very
exclusively
expensive.
On some of their early records, like Ventures in Space. CeeMee Mosley was still making guitars in the 80s, but he had relocated his shop to Burke County.
Really?
CeeMee Mosley was making Mosrite guitars just down the roads here. Wow. He could have stood on the roof of his factory and watched the Brown Mountain Lights.
Wow.
Jonas Ridge, North Carolina, and CeeMee Mosley is buried at Jonas Ridge.
Really?
I found some photographs from backstage at the Pterodactyl Club of Johnny with his Mosrite custom.
And
CeeMee Mosley, you know, that's pretty cool. CeeMee Mosley just, to drive down to Charlotte from Jonas Ridge over in Burke County, no big deal. Go down there, meet Johnny Ramone, get a picture taken, and they gave CeeMee a leather tour jacket.
Oh,
I don't know what
wow.
tour that was, probably Brain Drain or, you know, one of those late 80s,
that's on
early 90s.
My guitar list. I would, you know, I mean, I maybe could afford an Eastman, which is like a Mosrite ripoff clone. But, like, actual Mosrites are just becoming so expensive.
I know of some people here that have some of the late model Carolina-made Mosrite guitars. So if you're ever in the market or you just want to hold one, I know some people. That's the Ramones Carolina connection. And like I say, it's pretty cool that one of the most legendary custom guitar builders in the world ended up just...
And Bob Moog.
Yeah, I absolutely. Mean, so,
who in the last, was he still alive when they were, he might have already passed when they started working on the Moog guitar.
I don't know. I tried to call Bob up on the phone in about 96 or 7, and he was out for a walk. His wife or daughter or somebody else answered the phone, and I said, "Is Bob Moog there?"
When people do that, I'm just like, oh, I cringe.
Yeah, but how do you know the first time? I mean, they say if you mispronounce a word, you learned it by reading. Danzig said never make fun of someone for mispronouncing a word. It means they learned it from reading.
That's fair enough.
And we trust Glenn Danzig, don't we?
Yes, we do.
I could talk music the whole 3 hours. Josh is going to be like, where's the paranormal content, Vance? Yeah, I'm kind of a rock and roll guy, but I think rock and roll and the paranormal hand in hand.
Oh. Now I want to hear Danzig.
We might do it. I might have you a Danzig check.
Mother!
That's what I'm here.
Oh, my goodness. This first hour has been a lot of fun. Next hour, let's talk about adopting ghosts and some personal experiences.
I'm adopted.
From investigator Shelley Wright.
Flies by.
Speaking of strange.
Love is like oxygen.